Hey there, this is just a reminder before we get started on today's podcast that The Anxious Guide to Non-Monogamy is going to be an audiobook. So if you're interested in ordering it when it comes out, please go to nonmonogamyhelp.com/audio notify and you will get an email the second that it is available for pre-order or ordering. And I have accidentally sent some people on that list my general email, apologies for that, but you will only get an email on that email list in the future if you would like to hear when the audiobook is out. So yeah. nonmonogamyhelp.com/audio notify. Let's get to our episode.
Non-Monogamy Help is a podcast where your questions about open, non-monogamous or polyamorous relationships are answered. Our host, Lola Phoenix, will consult a licensed therapist with over a decade of experience to address your problems. Names and locations have been changed or censored to keep your questions anonymous. You're listening to Non-Monogamy Help, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 126 of the Non-Monogamy Help podcast. I'm Lola Phoenix. Please send your questions to ask@nonmonogamyhelp.com and they'll either be in the podcast or the column anonymously. If you want to read the columns and listen to the podcast, you can do so at nonmonogamyhelp.com. If you want to be awesome and get everything in your inbox and generally support the column, subscribing to the newsletter is a really great way to do that. You can find that at nonmonogamyhelp.com/email. And you can follow the column on Twitter and Instagram at nonmonogamyhelp. And of course, if you want to support what I do, I really, really appreciate it. Becoming a patron is really helpful. Even the lowest tier of support helps support, I keep saying support, good job, the daily running of the columns and podcasts, and just shows me a general vote of support. You can, there we go, I said it again. You can do that by going to patreon.com/LolaPhoenix. And there is a podcast shout out tier that you can join. And if you join that, then I will, with your permission, read your name at the end of the podcast. So let's get to this week's discussion question. If this is the first episode you're hearing, every week before I read the letter, I go through a discussion question that you can use with your friends, partners, or anyone else to get to know them a little bit more. And I also answer it myself briefly to give you a little bit of context. This week's discussion question is, how important is having your own individual space? And for me, this is really, really important. I'm actually finding because for a long time, I was really afraid of living on my own because I just like had a lot of paranoias and fears about like general safety and thought, oh, living alone is really scary. I don't know if I can do it. Which was kind of silly because I lived with a lot of grown adults and, ended up taking on a lot of responsibility, and those situations were way more stressful than if I'd have just lived alone, which I found out by living alone. So having my own individual space is now like super important to me. I'm not really sure if I want to share living space with other people. I'm not sure. I'm still up in the air about it. There are definitely benefits to living with people, and that is a side thing, but I don't know. Yeah, so having my own individual space is really important. So let me repeat the question. How important is having your own individual space? Let's get to this week's question.
Hi, Lola. My question is, how do I communicate and stop my negative emotions towards this new situation where I am living with a couple that are newly non-monogamous, and one of them I don't find attractive and the other one we have feelings for each other, and I'm getting a lot of jealousy, and now I live with them and I don't know how to navigate living with them when I can't afford to leave, but also having jealousy when they spend more time with each other than one of them spends with me. Things are showing up for me that I've never had before because it's the first time I've done non-monogamy. I always thought I was monogamous and I have to try and find an anchor, but I'm really lost. Hope you can help.
Before we get to this week's answer, I want to quickly remind you of this episode's sponsor, BetterHelp. Quite often in a lot of my columns and podcasts, I encourage people to seek a polyamory-friendly therapist. For a lot of people, looking locally for a therapist that might understand polyamory can be expensive or impossible or out of their budget, et cetera, and so forth. BetterHelp allows you to find therapists online that you can send messages to at any time of the day. You can switch therapists if one is not, you know, what you would like to have when it comes to therapy, and they do also offer some financial aid. You can get 10% off your first month by using the promo code nonmonogamyhelp at checkout or by going to betterhelp.com/nonmonogamyhelp. Let's get to this week's answer. There are a couple of things here that I'm wondering. First is, have they actually addressed the power imbalance? Because I tend to find that when you're in a situation where, even if you did actually have feelings for the metamor that you're living with, when there isn't actually somebody like addressing this issue that, like, yes, I've been with this one person for a very long time, and you don't really say in your question how long they've been together, but they've been together presumably longer than you have been with the person that you're attracted to. So that is a power imbalance. That's an inherent power imbalance. They live together, which of course now you do live with them, but still they have lived together for a long time, or for a longer time than you've lived with the person that you're interested in. And I just think sometimes people, what they do is kind of, if especially if they claim not to be hierarchical in their approach, they kind of just gloss over these power imbalances or never really address them. And I think that that leads to a lot more anxiety. It's kind of like an elephant in the room type of situation where there's definitely a power imbalance. There's definitely a fear, an understandable fear that you have, that there's already this established relationship and there's nobody's really addressing it. So it almost kind of makes you not want to address it because you don't want to rock the boat, and that just creates more problems. So I think, have they actually addressed this power imbalance, and has your partner, I mean, not they, because you have a relationship with the person that you have a relationship with, and you don't really need to have a huge bonding friendship or whatever with the metamor that you're with. You can just treat them as a roommate. But I think having this addressed is really, really important. And so they really need to make sure that they're addressing this power imbalance. I think secondly is, do you have your own individual space? Because I hear you in terms of like, I can't afford to move out. Many, many people cannot afford to live on their own. I am very privileged in that regard, and I couldn't live on my own for very long when I lived in London. Well, I couldn't ever live alone when I lived in London because I couldn't afford it. So that is a difficult thing, and I totally understand that. But do you have your own individual space? Do you have your own room? Does everyone have their own individual spaces, or do they share an individual space together, or share a, I guess it wouldn't be an individual space. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they have a shared bedroom and you're kind of like the third wheel, then that also adds to the like power imbalance of the situation. And understandably, again, not everyone can afford to live in a place where everyone has their own individual bedrooms, but it is something that will add to the feeling of a power imbalance. And even if they're not like, even if they're sleeping in the same bed and spending every night together sleeping in the same bed, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're spending time together. And that's also really important to point out, because you have talked about like time, but I do think it's really important to remember that, and maybe this is something that you have experienced when you've lived with people or something you will experience, is that I think people often think that when you live together, because you're around each other all the time, that you're actually spending time with one another. And that's not necessarily been my experience. Like, it's very easy to gloss over that time that you're in the same space as time spent with one another, when, unless it's intentional, it's not actually time spent with one another. But if they sleep in the same room, then that's obviously like a power imbalance that's going to affect you and needs to be addressed and talked about. It doesn't mean they necessarily have to change it, but that has to be part of the thing of like, okay, yeah, obviously we live and have lived as a quote unquote couple, and that hasn't changed even with you moving in. And so we need to address that and just be honest about it. Because I think, you know, whether that means like, I don't expect them to straight up say like, we're definitely going to prioritize each other over you or anything like that. But I just think it's like, to just say it out loud is sometimes really important. Like, even if your partner was just like, hey, I understand that, like, I've been with, you know, we'll say Marjorie. I've been with Marjorie for a long time. We've been together, you know, for this amount of time. We've lived together. We share the same room. And I just want you to know that, like, I'm very aware of how, you know, our relationship is still new, it's still building, so there's probably going to be a lot of feelings about this, and I just want to be aware of that. Like, I'm not expecting everything to be like equals completely shared out, because sometimes it's not like that. Like, if you got sick and all of a sudden needed a lot of help, like let's say you broke your leg or something, even not even getting sick, if you broke your leg and like needed someone to take you to the hospital and your partner took you to the hospital and like tried to help you through all the rehabilitation stuff like that happens. Relationships aren't always completely equal, even within monogamy, of like in terms of effort spent. But I do think that is an important aspect of the situation in terms of individual space. Another question that I have is, have you actually discussed how time is spent with one another, or how your partner, you know, what is your partner's version of polyamory? Because you can all be polyamorous and still not be compatible. Like, what is their ideal version of polyamory? What is living together like something that they envisioned, or was that sudden? Or like, what are they going to move in another partner? Like, you know, like there's lots of different questions. So is your partner now polysaturated with two partners that are living with them, or are they going to date other people? I think discussing how time is spent is a really, really important thing, because it also encourages people who live together to really think about intentional time spent together, which sometimes they really don't. And you've said like you already feel like, and you have a bit of jealousy when they spend more time with each other than the person that you're with spends. And that may just not be intentional. That may be out of habit. Like they've lived together for quite a long time and they're just now getting used to another person in that. But that needs to be addressed, and that needs to be a situation where they have actually thought about the fact that they are going to be spending less time with each other, and the more partners that someone gets, the less time with each other. And what I find that a lot of people do when they start off in non-monogamy and they're in a like couple situation, I do think that like they often don't think about the time, and then they kind of continue acting as if they're still monogamous until someone else gets a partner, and then they have to spend time apart, and that becomes tricky and difficult. So they may not be or haven't been behaving as though they are actually in a polyamorous relationship, so they haven't really thought of it. But if you actually point out and be like, look, we need to schedule time, like you need to have date nights, you need to have specific time set aside, and there needs to be some type of conscious decision about time spent, because if there's not, then I don't even think it's necessarily intentional. I think people just fall into old habits. So that is something that you need to bring up and talk about. The other thing that I'm kind of concerned about, which is like, just because you've not done non-monogamy before doesn't necessarily mean that it's not for you. But if this is the first time that you're doing non-monogamy, I do wonder, especially in a situation where you're like moving in with someone and you like one person, but you aren't interested in the other person, I do worry a little bit about the situation in terms of like, did you enter the situation because of a housing need? Did you enter into this situation because you really just like this person and it wasn't necessarily that you were interested in non-monogamy? It was just that you wanted to keep this person in your life. Because one of the things that I kind of advise for people is to not to find a personal reason why non-monogamy is something that they're interested in. The very first thing that I advise people is like, ask yourself, could you be in a monogamous relationship with someone who, say, has a time-intensive career, who does not spend all of their time with you, who spends a long time, you know, away from you for whatever reason? And I tend to find that if the answer is no, then people who don't even want a monogamous relationship where their partner doesn't spend as much time as is typically expected may really struggle with non-monogamy, because at the basic level, regardless of what kind of non-monogamy you choose, at the end of the day, your partner won't be spending as much time with you as potentially they would if you were in a monogamous situation. And you kind of have to be okay with that, or at the very least, that can't be a deal breaker for you. So that's the first question. And then the other one in terms of finding your anchor is like, is there some aspect of non-monogamy that appeals to you other than keeping this relationship? Is there some aspect of, you know, dating other people that you're interested in? Or maybe you're kind of an independent person and you like doing your own thing, and so you don't mind having a lot of alone time. So there has to be some type of personal aspect of non-monogamy that appeals to you, because I do genuinely feel, I mean, there's billions of people on the planet. Maybe there's one person who can do non-monogamy for the sake of keeping one relationship and be fine with that. But I genuinely feel that if you don't have any personal reason and your goal is to keep a relationship in your life, firstly, that tends to be a monogamous relationship that turns polyamorous. And that doesn't tend to work out because they want to keep, it's kind of like keeping a long distance relationship so that you can keep an in-person relationship going. And that can work for some people, but if you're expecting for the relationship to stay exactly as it is when you're in person and then going to long distance, that doesn't really work. So the foundation of the relationship that you have had this whole time changes. When it comes to this, it seems like you started non-monogamous from what I gather. So it's not necessarily that the foundations are changing, but are you the type of person that is afraid of, like, that will agree to situations that don't serve you, either because you're afraid of loss or because you're afraid that you won't be able to find something better for yourself or any kind of reason like that? So I want you to, you know, it's not that if you had an anchor, you would feel no jealousy. That's not the situation, especially if there's a power imbalance that hasn't been addressed, especially if the division of time hasn't been addressed or agreed upon or is not an intentional thing and then therefore becomes unintentionally imbalanced. However, I do think that in general, you need to think about, like, okay, personally, what is your ideal polyamorous situation? Like, would you want another partner to live with you? How many other partners would you want? How would you want to physically divide your time? Sometimes thinking about those types of things can lead into understanding yourself a little bit better and understanding if it's really for you. Because if the only thing you can picture is just saving this relationship, then that kind of tends to be a little bit of a signal that maybe you're not that interested in non-monogamy. You're more interested in saving this relationship. And in that case, that might be difficult to do. It just depends on your personal wants and needs, because there are people who are monogamous to polyamorous people. And that is something that totally can be fine for lots of people, but it just depends. And I think you have to be really intentional and really honest about it instead of, like, you know, elephant in the room type of situation. And then last but not least, I do think that having a therapist, if it's something that you can do, which maybe it's not possible at the moment, but if you can pull together costs and think about having a therapist for your both of you as a couple, then I think that might be helpful to talk through some things. But I do think that if you can address, like, the power imbalance, if that can be really just honestly addressed, and again, it's not about them, you know, it's not about your partner trying to pick in between you. It's not about your partner trying to say bluntly that, hey, I'm going to prioritize this other relationship with Marjorie that I have over you. It's not about that. But it's like, it needs to be obvious that, okay, I totally understand how you might feel threatened because we've had this relationship for longer and we've been living together. And then if you can also, like, make sure that you have your own individual space as much as that is possible. And if they have their own individual spaces, I mean, if that's not possible, then at least, like, address how, if they do share a bedroom, that does impact the power imbalance between the situations. And then discuss how time is spent with one another, because I don't know is that this is necessarily intentional. I do think people just slip into old habits. So I think that if it's addressed and you can actually schedule intentional time with one another, and your partner, your shared partner, can actually make active, informed, and obvious decisions about how they want to spend time, then that will actually be a lot better for both relationships, probably. And especially living together, you know, it's going to feel sometimes like you may think that you're actually spending time together, but you're just really physically in the same place. So yeah, I hope that helps, and good luck. Thank you for listening to episode of 126 of Non-Monogamy Help. If you want to be awesome, you can donate to my Patreon. Donating at the podcast support tier means that your name, with your permission, will be read at the end of the podcast. This week's current patrons are Laura Boylan, Chris Albury Jones, Duke, Nikki Jones, James Wartell, Justin Calm, and Aaliyah. If for whatever reason you can't become a patron, because I absolutely understand that not everyone has a disposable income, it would really mean a lot to me if you can sign into iTunes and rate and review the podcast, or on Spotify. It just helps me get the podcast out to other people. And if you don't want to write a review, that's absolutely fine. You can just do a rating. And also let me know if you do write a review. because I don't always get informed. I have like an automatic thing that informs me, but I don't always get that. So yeah, that is what I'd appreciate. That is all for this week. You will get a new column next Friday and another podcast episode in a fortnight. Thank you again for listening. You've been listening to Non-Monogamy Help. The podcast music was done by Chris Albury Jones at albury-jones.com. Our podcast art was done by Dom Jung, and you can visit Dom's site at domduong.com. Thank you again for listening.